Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Camp. This might be your date with destiny.
Welcome, everybody. Good evening. This is Robert Lee Camp, and this is the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. This is a show where you can call in, ask questions, and get some answers about your future. We also have a little talk. In the beginning of the show, I'll talk about a certain topic, and I have a really interesting topic tonight to discuss. And at around 7:30 Pacific time, we open up the phone lines and start taking your calls. And when you call in, you want to give us your name, your birthday, and where you're from. All we need is your first name, your birthday including the year, and where you're calling from, just so we can announce online we have somebody from this place or that place. It's just kind of fun. Makes it more interesting for the listeners. Today is July 14th, and I love this day because I have a lot of friends born this day. Today is July 14th. It's a double ace day. It's an ace of diamonds and an ace of hearts. There aren't very many. Actually, I don't know if there are any other ace days, double ace days. I think this is the only one, actually. Yeah. It's the only birthday that has two aces. So aces are, it's the first number. So people on this day have a really strong desire for their own privacy. I mean, they do end up naturally sometimes in the media or in roles where they're with a lot of people, and they are very friendly, but they also need a lot of time by themselves because of that ace, especially their ruling card, the Ace of Hearts, which causes them to want to spend time with themselves and search within as to what really matters to them in life. They spend a lot of time thinking about this. We have people like Woody Guthrie, born today. We have producer Joel Silver. We have actor Harry Dean Stanton and Terry Thomas, ex-president Gerald Ford, young actor Matthew Fox, who was on Speed Racer as the older brother, actress Ingmar Bergman, our director Ingmar Bergman, B.B. Buell, who is the mother of Liv Tyler. She's a groupie, or was a groupie. And a couple other people here. Nobody else that really stands out. But happy birthday, everybody born today. And I know some of you, and I hope some of you are listening. And if you are, please call in to get a little birthday reading for your new year. I'd love to talk to you tonight. What else? We have some announcements. My new book, Your Birthday, Your Card, is available now. It's in all the bookstores. We also have it here. You can order from us if you want. If you do order from here, we just write a little note and I'll autograph it for you before I send it out if you order on our website. Just there's a little comments field that you can write that in. Please ask Robert to autograph my book. Be happy to do that. On July 25th, I'll be in Chicago. We'll be doing a talk about the new book. There's going to be lots of books there. So if you're in that area, just wait. And when I get there, you can buy one right there and get it autographed right there. Or bring your book to the bookstore if you already have one and autograph it after our little talk, our little mini workshop that we're going to have. I believe that starts at 7 o'clock on Friday, July 25th in Chicago. Also, again, lovecardsdating.com is on its way. We're doing a lot of work. And you can already sign up. You can go there and put your name on and be one of the first ones to be able to use this awesome website. It's going to have so many wonderful features. You're going to love it. It's going to be your card resource site, as well as a dating site. It's going to have lots of other features that you're going to enjoy. So those are the main announcements that I have. Tonight's topic is about looking good and being right. And I don't know if you are as aware. I've recently become very aware. These are two of the real strongest driving motivations in people today. I mean, everybody wants to look good, and everybody wants to be right. And usually, when you think about it, usually looking, being right is always in relationship to other people. If I'm looking good, then I am prettier or better looking than somebody else. If I'm right, then other people are wrong. So this is where it becomes a problem. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look your best. But in our society today, I mean, it's become terrible. I mean, I used to live in Los Angeles, and I had several clients, actually. And they were getting up in their years. I mean, not even that old, in their 40s. Females. And they would do the most horrendous things, like get chemical peels and plastic surgeries. They were so concerned about looking old that they were so concerned they would not be able to get work, because it's just a well-known fact in Hollywood that you have to be young. Older actors and actresses, especially actresses, though actors tend to be okay, but actresses, they're under immense pressure to look good, and they go crazy because that desire for that fame and recognition and money that comes with being successful, and then you think about losing that, and they're so identified with that, and losing that, it's like life or death for them. So they'll go through these extremely painful, a chemical peel is basically put acid on your face to eat off the outer layers of your skin so that you can look younger. You have young baby skin underneath. The only problem is that once they do that, you can't go out in the sun anymore. Your skin loses all of its sun protection. So now you can't go outside in the sun without wearing a hat or a scarf over your face. You can only be seen in the dark. You're like a vampire then. Looking good. And then, you know, it's funny because the natural cycle of life is that we're all going to get old. And we're going to lose our good looks. It just happens. I don't care who you are, you're going to lose your good looks. Everything that you might be attached to about looking good is inevitable that you're going to lose it. And if you think you are, if you're so attached to being that way, and if that's who you think you really are, you're going to have a lot of suffering as you get old. Basically, you know, it's interesting. Death is when we lose everything. You know, I mean, it's whatever we're identified with in the world. We, you know, looking good, for example, or possessions, or whatever we think we are, our role in life, our job, our career. As we get old, all those things begin to fall away. And some people just can't handle that. I mean, when they get old, it becomes like a time when they just go, they become crazy. They can't face the reality. Some people check out. I mean, Tony Snow, the spokesperson for the Bush administration, died this past weekend. He was only 53 years old. He was only 1 month into his 53rd year. Now, I've talked about the 52nd year a lot because it's a significant year. I call it the critical year, the year we decide to live or die. Well, I really believe that Tony Snow decided that it was time to go. I don't know much about his personal life. He seemed like a really happy guy. But I just know other people that died at age 52, and everybody I met that died at that age or around that age, they all basically made a conscious or somewhat conscious decision to let go and get out. They had a decision to make, and they chose to leave. Yeah, I can feel sorry for Tony Snow because I can feel really sorry for his family. But it was ultimately his choice, and he made it. I think if we really looked into his life, if we knew more about his personal life, I think we would discover that on some level he made a decision that he didn't want to be here anymore. So this happens to all of us as we get older. A lot of people check out at age 52. It's interesting because that's the year that our Saturn period of life begins. And I think everybody knows on a subconscious level that around age 52 is when health matters will really start to become. It's really at that age, at least for me, that's the year when I really notice I'm really starting to age. I mean, if I was 51 and 45, and I was 45 and 46, 48, 49, 50, and I still did not feel like I had gotten old. I might have looked older, and people might have said, you know, you look old or whatever, but I didn't personally experience myself as being older. But at age 52, you really start to see that. You start to see that health becomes a bigger concern. It takes more maintenance. And you notice things like hair growing out of places in your body that it never grew, like out of your nose and ears in a big way. Stuff like that. Really funny stuff. But I was watching some shows about aging, and, you know, what happens as we get older is our body, our physical characteristics become exaggerated. They become sort of defective versions of what they were when we were young. So all these beautiful features that you have when you're in your 20s, and when you get older, you get in your 50s and your 60s, these features sort of morph into more grotesque versions of yourself. No matter how beautiful you are, there's a certain amount of it that just happens to all of us. It's part of the process of growing old. At age 52, you start to realize, you know, I'm really going to die. I mean, most people live, especially if you're under 40, you think you're going to live forever. Everybody thinks we're going to live forever. No one thinks about death. No one's in a hurry to do anything because they know they're going to die someday. Nobody's really giving that all that much credit. So, but after that, at age 52, you really see, you know, I can see my body is starting to return to the soil. So I'm getting old. My body's going back to what it was. I'm going back to become one with everything, which means I lose everything. And this is really the fear that we all face. This is the fear that we face because we are afraid of losing that which we've become attached to and identified with. And Eckhart Tolle calls this the ego. He says this is what the ego is all about. And looking good and being right are the two number one best, biggest ways that we perpetuate our suffering and the suffering of other people. Think about it for a minute. Being right, if you think about it from this point of view, the ego, we all say we want to be one and we want to have love for each other. But the ego survives only on being separate from other people. Our ego survives on being different from other people. It's that difference and that sense of our identity as being somebody unique and different. That's what the ego is. And that's what we're so deathly afraid of letting go of. And yet, we will do the most horrendous things to other people in the name of that separateness. So everybody talks about love, but people don't really want to be. They want to maintain. They don't really want to love each other. They want to maintain this sense of ego. And to have an ego means that I have to be superior to you. That's the definition. So if we're having an argument, I'm right and you're wrong. That I'm right and you're wrong makes me feel better about myself. It enhances my sense of separateness. What I don't see about that is that it keeps me alone. It keeps me alone and disconnected from everybody else. That's what we don't see about it. But that's exactly what we're doing. We're always being right and making other people wrong. Think about all of the countless legal battles that have been fought and are being fought every single day. And in every single one of these battles, there are two people on each side. Both feel victimized by the other. Both feel right about their position. Both have justified it in their mind, whatever it is. And in truth, maybe one of them is right about something and the other could be wrong. But what's going on is a fight, and we will kill people to be right. We do kill people to be right. Organized religion has killed millions of people in the last century. because they did not follow the doctrine of their particular religion. And even today, there are religious factions, and it's going to continue. I mean, this is the way we've been. Why would it change? Religious people are killing each other in the name of their gods or in the name of their beliefs. Beliefs. It's amazing that we will kill people in the name of a belief. You don't believe in my God, I'm going to kill you. It's just amazing. But this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing every day. But we do it on a much more everyday level in our life all the time. We all want to be right. And so in a relationship, think about any relationship you've been in, a personal relationship, intimate relationship. If you look at the conversation, if you examine the things you talk about and watch the little arguments that come up, you'll notice that there's always this need to be right. This is the source of the argument. And it creates separateness. It creates a pushing away from each other. It does not create love. It never creates love. It only creates love when you say, hey, I'm on your side. It's okay, you can be right. That creates love. That's really a desire to be one with somebody else, to admit that, you know, you don't need to be right. There's an old saying that, I don't know how old it is, but I heard about it a few years back, and would you rather be right or get what you want in life? Now, I'm not saying give up what's true. I'm not saying abandon truth. But see, what is truth? If we're fighting for it, if we're saying to the other person, why don't you believe me? Then it's not about the truth anymore. It's about you. It's about me. See, this is the point. It's okay to state the truth in a situation. And you may be right about that truth. But when you start using the word me and I and you get emotional about what you're discussing, you should know that at that point, your ego is involved. And all you're doing is just enhancing your sense of being separate from everybody else. That's all we're doing in that time. We're just pushing everybody away to make ourselves feel better, enhance our sense of being away from everybody else. That is not going to get us what we really want in life. It's going to create more problems. And then it's funny, you know, divorces. Oh, my gosh. People getting divorced. There are more judges who get attacked, shot at, and murdered for divorces than any other criminal or any other legal proceeding. Judges who are presiding in divorce in courts are more afraid for their life than any other judges. Think about that. The most dangerous job in America. They have a show on TV about dangerous jobs. They should have the divorce court judge's job up there. I mean, they got massive security now in courthouses because people have walked in there with guns and killed people over divorces. More than gangsters. There's been way more deaths for divorces than for gangsters. And it all comes down to the ego's need to be right and to enhance its sense of separateness and superiority over the other. If I get to be right and I get to make you wrong, it makes me feel better about who I think I am, which is this separate person disconnected from the whole, who has to perpetrate pain and suffering in other people in order to sustain my existence. That's basically what it is, and that is basically what Eckhart Tolle says is insanity. And that's what we're up to, insanity. This is what we're doing. We're doing insane things to each other on a daily basis. I got into an argument through email with another person just a few days ago. And, you know, I saw how I felt threatened, and I saw how in my fear I had to attack, I had to fight back, and I saw how effective I am or how much I go into using my mental creativity to make the other person wrong and to make myself right and protect myself. And I saw how I can become so unconscious in that process. I lose all consciousness. I become afraid. I'm in a state of panic on an emotional level. I'm afraid, and I'm not seeing things clearly. And, you know, everybody who, I shouldn't say everybody, because there are people that perpetrate crimes who have no remorse and never no second thoughts, but most of us, when we do something that hurts somebody else, after our anger or fear subsides, we look back and we go, oh, I just did something bad, and we want to go apologize to that person. We want to go make it up to them. We want to do something to make up for it, because now we're no longer stuck in our ego. We're seeing things more clearly. But the truth of the matter is that unless we really intervene into our life in some meaningful way, into our level of consciousness, that we'll do the same thing again. The next time we get activated, the next time we get afraid, get our buttons pushed, you know, I mean, it's like, so the question is like this. I mean, just on a practical level, you know, think about it for a minute. Everybody on this planet is afraid. There's a few rare beings like Eckhart Tolle and a few others who really have transcended the fear, and they don't get caught up in their pain body and all those reactions to things. Okay, there's a few people like that. But you can just assume that virtually everybody you know and meet is not that way. Okay? So the question remains is, well, what do these people do when they get activated? How bad does it get? What do they do when they're in their worst moment? Because if you get to know that person, eventually you're going to confront that part of them. It's not their conscious part. It's not the part of them that is conscious. And when they're in that place, they're not being conscious. They're not loving. As a matter of fact, they're defending. They're freaked out. They're trying to get their way because they see no other alternative. They will do anything to get it. They'll be uncaring towards you. Some people will be verbally abusive. Some will be physically abusive. Some will murder other people. Some will just check out, and they'll play keep away, take their love away to hurt the other person. We all have our own little thing. Well, what is it that you do? And wouldn't it be nice to kind of know before you got heavily involved with somebody how bad that can get, you know, with the person? I mean, like marriage, you know. I mean, if you're going to marry somebody, it would be nice to know ahead of time that once they get activated enough, they feel okay about, you know, beating you up or something along these lines. It would be really nice to know that. You know, once we're activated like that and we're in our ego, we don't know what we're doing. We're not conscious. We're not conscious. In a sense, we're innocent in that time because we are not conscious of what we're doing. We're reacting. We're in pain. We're wanting to feel pain, inflict pain, experience pain, create more pain for that time. And later we come back to awareness. And when we do, we go, oh, my God, look what I did. This is why people kill themselves frequently after they shoot other people. They will spend months or years plotting to kill people that they hate. And they let their anger build up, these kids in school or people at the post office or somebody in a job or somebody in a divorce proceeding. They let it build up, and they make this big plan, and they feel completely convinced that they're doing it for the right reason. It has to happen. It's the right thing to do. They're the victim, and they're going to fight back in the only way they know, and they plan, and they get these weapons together, and they go in, and they finally, that day, they go in and kill some people. They just shoot. And then at some point, that anger and that pain gets satisfied within them, and they stop. And now they're no longer angry or upset. Now they see the truth of what they've done. And they see the truth of everything. And they realize they just committed a terrible mistake. And they kill themselves. They kill themselves for, it could be many reasons, but at that moment they often take their own life. And don't we all feel sorry after we've gotten really angry or upset or afraid and did some things to other people and hurt them, and then we found out later it didn't even happen the way we thought, or, you know, like this. But it all starts really small. It usually starts about being right. And it's real important to take a look, you know. It's one thing to know that something is the truth about something and be able to just say it. But when it ends up being about you, and you have to argue about it or defend it, you should know by now that that's you being in your pain body, and now you're perpetrating on other people. And we all do it. We're working on it. And the answer is just to get back into the awareness of ourselves. Watch this as it happens next time. Catch yourself in the act. Stop this process from happening. Don't let yourself get into groups that have an ideal that, like, I would never be in any religion that claims to be the only religion. I just couldn't do that. Because I know that these people are going to hurt somebody else because they're not on their side. And I don't want to be part of that. That's something I would never do. I would never go to war for a country. I would go to war to defend my own life or the life of my family. If that's what was at stake, I could certainly go to war. But just for an ideology, just for an idea, someone's idea, go kill somebody else? I don't think so. So that's the thing about being right and looking good. And, you know, you can ask yourself, am I being right or looking, or am I all about being right or being about looking good? Right now, it's a good question to ask, just like a little reminder. What am I up to right now? What am I doing today? Why am I doing? If you're in an argument with somebody, most likely you are. If you're defending yourself, most likely there's an ego there that's wanting to sustain itself, wanting to make itself better than other people, wanting to feel good about itself, and it's not the real you. It's not. This is not the real us. It's not who we really are. It's who we think we are, but it's not who we really are. So that's my little talk for tonight. I hope it wasn't too intense. It's been hitting me a lot lately myself, just listening to Eckhart Tolle and reflecting on my own life. I grew up in a family that there was a lot of fighting constantly. There was a lot of violence in my house, verbal abuse. There were seven children. My father was alcoholic. My mother and father didn't get along most of the time, and she was quite fiery. And she liked to fight. And there was a lot of violence, both verbally and physically, that was in my childhood. So I've been working with this my whole life. I've never really hit anybody, like in relationships. I used to fight a lot when I was a kid in school. But I do it verbally now. So I'm really working on this to become aware. What am I defending? Who am I? What's my real identity? Is who I think I am so weak that I need to constantly be on the lookout and defending it? That's the question. Okay, folks, so I hope you're still hanging in there. If you'd like to call in now is a good time, especially if you have a birthday. I'd like to give you a birthday reading tonight. So just call in, and we're going to have one of the songs from Bhakti Rock. And when we come back, I'll be answering your calls. We're going to do the song Shiva from my CD Bhakti Rock, and we'll be right back.
Shiva, Hare Shiva, Hare Shiva, Hare Shiva.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Shiva on my Bhakti Rock CD. And Heather Whitney was singing with me. I got an email from her. They hadn't heard from her in a while. The vocalist who sings with me on some of the songs on the CD. She has such a beautiful voice. Okay, we do have some people on the line. We still have lines open, though, if you'd like to call in. We're going to talk to Sandra first from Pontiac, Michigan. Are you there, Sandra? Hello, is there anybody there?
I'm here, but I'm not.
Is this Sandra?
No.
Is this Jean?
Yes.
Hi, Jean, and you're from North Carolina, right?
I sure am.
What part of North Carolina?
Horseshoe.
Horseshoe, okay.
Henderson County.
Well, that's not far from Asheville, where I used to live.
You used to live there, huh?
Yeah, I just moved away from there about a year and a half ago.
How could you leave this beautiful area?
It was hard, trust me.
I believe it.
The only reason I left was because I have a son out here. I wanted to be with him.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
So you're born May 6, 1936, is that right?
Yeah, I'm 72. One of the older ones, but no plastic surgery.
You happen to be the same birthday as my son.
Oh yeah, the King of Diamonds.
Yeah, King of Diamonds. That's a really strong birthday you got there.
I know.
And I was talking about earlier about being right, and boy, Four of Clubs is a ruling card, and Four of Clubs, they need to be right.
Well, you know, I used to have to be right, but not anymore.
Really? Oh, good.
I was older at 22 than I am now, and my, you know, telling people what they ought to do and how. I don't do that anymore. It's not worth it.
Oh, that's good. That must have been a great change for you.
Oh, yeah, I even look younger. When I stop that stupid stuff.
Oh, well, that's good. I think that's a good thing.
And I also took Eckhart Tolle's class with Oprah. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, I watched most of those. Not all of them, but I watched a number of them. I thought it was great to see him.
I never finished them all either, but I like the pain body thing.
Yeah, it's been helping me a lot. So what can I do for you tonight, Jean?
Wondering about my business. I have a business of counseling people.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder how it's going to go. I work online in a psychic chat room, which I do very well there. I don't tell people what to do, though.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, I just wonder if my own business is going to pick up.
Well, how would you like it to be?
How would I like it to be?
Yeah, I mean, how much business can you handle comfortably?
How much do I want to handle? I like to have maybe two good readings a day and then go play the rest of the day.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I wouldn't mind winning the lottery and just taking off and doing what I wanted for the rest of my life.
Well, do you play the lottery?
Like, yeah, sure.
Okay. I would never assume that.
What?
I don't play it at all.
Okay.
Ever.
Well, hey, that's kind
of
like
a game. I don't begrudge anybody who plays it, but, you know. There are other ways of looking at it. But anyway, so you have really good influences this year.
Really? Nice.
You're in what's called most blessed year this year.
Most blessed?
It's called the most blessed year.
Yeah. Oh, good. Where does that come from? I mean,
it comes from your card's position. You haven't read my books, I take it.
Yes, I have. I've got your software. I just bought the birthday book.
Okay. Well, you're displacing the Ten of Diamonds this year.
Okay.
That's
my husband's displaced. My husband's the King of Ten of Diamonds.
Yeah, well, it's still you get the blessings of having the Ten of Diamonds displacement this year. It's very auspicious.
Cool.
And you have Ten of Clubs and Eight of Hearts in Jupiter, and you have a Ten of Diamonds in Saturn. So there's a lot of potential here. You could make more money this year than you've ever made in your whole life, or that you've been more money than you've made in a long time.
Okay.
If you're ready to take some action on this.
Yeah, okay.
It won't happen. It won't happen if you're just, you know, doing the same thing. You've got to do something a little different.
Yeah, I know. I did a reading for one of the columnist in the Asheville Citizen Times, and
uh-huh.
She's going to write an article on me.
Oh, well, that's exactly good. Now, here's the thing. The key to your success this year is to get the word out, okay? Get the word out about you. In other words,
right.
Reaching out to groups of people. That could be like a radio show. That could be like in the newspaper. That could be like giving talks or something at bookstores or things of that nature. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because you have a Ten of Clubs and Eight of Hearts in Jupiter, this means reaching out to the masses with information and being with groups of people. That's where your success lies.
Oh, cool. So I guess I'll go up to the store and say, I'm ready to teach a class on the angels.
Exactly. That's the exact formula. That's what you want. You want anything that would have you be with groups of people, and the bigger the better.
It's scary.
Is it scary?
Yeah, I'm working on
it. Are you afraid of making a lot of money?
No, I'm afraid of looking stupid.
There it is, looking good and being right. Remember I was talking about that earlier?
Oh, I never afraid thought of it being that wrong. Way.
Afraid of being wrong.
Not
or looking
wrong.
Bad. Or looking
okay.
bad.
Okay.
Or looking bad, see?
Well, you know what I'm doing? I'm taking singing lessons and I'm doing karaoke.
Hmm.
So this is going to help.
Well, you're getting over it then.
Yeah,
you're
I am.
You're getting over your fear now.
I get up in front of people now at karaoke and sing. And, hey, it's fun.
Yeah. That's great. That's a really great way to get over that.
Yeah. I still get sweaty hands, though.
Well, Barbara Streisand still gets so afraid when she sings that she throws up before every performance.
I know. Frank Sinatra did that, too.
So, you know, if they can do it, you can do it.
Of course.
That's my point.
Of course.
Yeah. So I haven't seen this many good cards in 1 year in a long time. You got exceptional influences this year.
Well, thank you so much. I knew there was a reason I was going to call tonight.
Well, I'm glad you called.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you in Asheville. I was there, but I
did
come back. I did meet you.
Yeah, you met me a couple times.
Where did I meet you?
Up at the Civic Center when I came up to get some software.
Oh, interesting.
And you talked to me on the phone.
Hmm.
I know you don't remember, but that's...
Well, you know, I probably would if I saw you, but...
Oh, you definitely would. I'm definitely different.
You really got a lot invested in that, I can tell.
Invested in what? The indifference?
In looking good. You mentioned it several times. You talked about your age and how you look in the very beginning of our conversation.
I said no plastic surgery, though.
Right. That's very unusual for someone to say that.
Well, no, I said it because of what you were talking about.
Oh, what was I talking about?
About people that get older and get scared.
Oh, that's why you meant. Okay, I get it.
Of course.
Okay. I was wondering. I'm kind of slow. I don't catch things that quick.
I noticed. But you're still right. How's that?
So, great talking to you, Jean.
You too, Robert.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we lost Sandra, who was on the line there. I don't know where she is, but we're going to take a short break, and now it's time to call. If you want to talk tonight, give us a call. You have the phone numbers. We're going to listen to the song Journey. Now, it's an instrumental song. When we come back, if there's any calls, we're going to keep going. So we'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back. All right, that was a journey off my C Bhakti Rock. And now we do have a couple of callers. Sandra came back. I hope she's still there on the line.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, Sandra.
Timing.
And your birthday is November 10th, 1944?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you are calling from, where is it again? Pontiac, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Great. So what can I do for you tonight?
Well, I've been through, going through that ego death and letting go that you talked about, and I feel a whole new energy about me. And I'm about ready to get stepping back out again into the public eye. I can reestablish a cable television show that I used to, but differently. It's time to get out and do the groups and the exposure, and I'm just calling to see what you see in the midst of being able to promote that which I do out there in the midst of what's going on in the world. Doing my part.
How soon do you plan to do this?
Well, I have an appointment tomorrow with the station director to find out when we can begin doing it. So, ASAP.
Oh, great. Well, you have very good influences right now for that. You are in your Saturn period of the year, which is the hardest period of the year.
Hardest?
But you're in the Saturn period of your year, which is the hardest period of the year. But you have cards of success, which means if you're willing to work at it right now, you'll have success.
Okay.
So I think it looks very good for your success right now.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't see any problems, really. So I think it's great to hear you getting all excited and going out there and going for it.
It actually feels good to wanna. I went through a period of time I didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, in 10 of clubs, you know, you have to have something like that or life just is too boring for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to have something challenging for you because you can do so much. So this is great. Just expect it to be hard work until the end of the month, okay?
That's the beginning of putting the team together. Yes. Getting the good team together to be able to do it.
It'll be hard work until the end of this month, and then it'll get easier, and there is definitely some success coming after that. So.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
that. You're very welcome, and you're calling from
Michigan.
That's right, Pontiac.
Okay. Lots happening in Michigan.
How far is Pontiac from
Detroit?
From Detroit.
About 25 miles.
Oh, okay. You should come over to my book talk in Chicago.
Ah, when's that?
25th.
Of July?
Yeah.
I'm in a conference in Allegan, Michigan, which goes along with all the kind of stuff you're talking about. So.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
All right. So.
Well, thanks for being my guest tonight, Sam.
Well, thanks for being on my, let me be on your show. Have a good
Absolutely.
Day.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. And now we have some from Chicago. We have Rosemary, who was born on July 19th, 1945. Mm-hmm. Are you there, Rosemary?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight?
Delighted and happy and just grateful to be alive.
That's a good place to be. You can't lose when you feel like that.
Didn't anticipate on losing or winning. I just want to be here and be part of the show.
Well, you made it.
Mm-hmm.
So you were in Chicago. You know I'm coming to Chicago.
Yes.
Good. Hope you come. Hope you can make it.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So do you have a question for me?
I'm looking, what do the cards say for the future year? I'm beginning to look at, it's a nine cycle since I'm a nine of clubs, and I'm finishing up that nine. And a lot of stuff is just left, like you were talking about that ego death. It happened, I'm grateful it did, goodbye. And I'm just wondering about starting my book. I've threatened to tell the truth.
You've been threatening to tell the truth in a book form?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'm looking at your next year here. And you have this displacement card of the King of Clubs. And that card is often associated with being an author.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely potential there. But you will have to make an effort.
Okay.
Have you began writing yet?
Manifest to the computer and studying Vista for Windows and, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I will be beginning by my birthday. I promised myself that date.
Oh, good. Good. That's perfect. What I see for you, your long-range card, like there's five cards that influence the entire year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the most important. That's where I look for most people who call in on the show. That's where I look for the answers to their questions. Because these five cards are the most powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so three of yours are very powerful diamond cards. You have a King of Diamonds, Pluto. You have a Queen of Diamonds, Result. And you have a Queen of Diamonds, Long Range. Now, do you have any relationships with Queen of Diamonds people right now?
No.
Okay. So that card, the Queen of Diamonds, is an icon for... It's an archetype for the businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that tells me that you're going to be having to play the role of a businesswoman this year.
I can do it. You know,
yeah.
19, you can lead or follow with the number 19.
Yeah, well, there you go. And, you know, the Seven of Spades is your environment card, and that means several things, actually. But one of the things it means is that you follow your path, the thing you know you're meant to do, and everything will work out.
Okay.
Okay? So it's a very powerful card. It's called the card of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It means if you follow your path, like do what you came here to do, what you're meant to do, everything else will take care of itself.
You know, I've always known that.
Yeah, but this is a year when you're going to get a chance to make that real. Not just knowing it, you're going to get a chance to experience it for real.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
So I think everything looks good.
Good. Well, you have a very wonderful evening, and you've added a lot of joy to mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Bye.
Have a nice night. Good night.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, we don't have any calls right at the moment, so we're going to take another break. And you can call in if you want to talk tonight. You have the numbers on the announcement or on my website, seventhunders.com. We're going to play the song Rama Rama off my CD. And when we come back, if there's any calls, we're going to keep going. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and you're listening to the Mr. Destiny radio show. We have a couple callers now. We have Michael from Tucson, Arizona, born October 2nd, 1948. Are you there, Michael?
I am. Good evening, Robert.
Hello?
Good evening, Robert. Do you
hear me? Oh, hi. Yeah. I'm sorry. You were so quiet, I couldn't hear you there for a second.
All right. I'll speak up a little more.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I had a question. I was wondering if how you could use the life path and the 13-year cycles, if there was a way that you could look at predicting sort of like the influences over that period of time in your life. For instance, you know, I'm just about to become 60 years old, and I'm in my Saturn period from the ages 52 to 64.
Right.
And I'm, for me, I have the Two of Hearts during these 13 years.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you could look at that and think, oh, I'm going to find the mate of my life or the relationship of my life. But then the aspect of it being in the Saturn is this is going to be a difficult experience.
Well, you know, you have the lifetime karma of having that, you see. Being a Seven of Diamonds, you have the Two of Hearts as your lifetime Saturn card. So there were always lessons to learn about love for you from the get-go. Do you understand?
I do understand. I've experienced
now,
it.
In this Saturn period is when you might say that this is when you can get the good side of this in this period, by the way, not just the bad side. You could have this be the good side if you've learned the lessons that you came here to learn. So how has it been going for you relationship-wise? How's it been going in this period?
It's been, well, I've been associated with a Five of Diamonds woman for about 6 years. And
uh-huh.
It's been a pretty rough, up and down experience. But for some reason, I feel very loyal and very very attached to trying to make the relationship work.
And what's her birthday, by the way? What Five of Diamonds?
April 16th, 1948 also.
So she's a Nine of Diamonds ruling card.
Ruling card, correct. And a Five of Diamonds birth card.
So, you know, my experience of Seven of Diamonds people, and I have a lot of people and a lot of friends, and I even have a son who's a Seven of Diamonds. My experience with them in relationship is often they are willing to make a lot of sacrifices for those they love. Are you familiar with this quality?
Yeah, you know, you know, the particular Seven of Diamonds that I am is has the overlay of being a Libra.
Yeah, with a Jack of Hearts.
And the Jack of Hearts, and not only I'm a Libra Sun and a Libra Moon, in the astrological terminology. So, you know, yeah, I very much desire these kind of, you know, this one-to-one encounter.
Yeah, but I'm referring specifically to this sacrificial nature.
The sacrificial nature
of the way you approach relationships. Do you relate to that at all?
I can. Isn't that basically what the Jack of Hearts, the
Christ? Yeah, but you know, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just talking about you, okay? Not about the card so much, but just about your own experience, see? So, my experience of Seven of Diamonds men is they go into a relationship with this desire to really make it right with some woman. Like, do right by them.
Yes.
And in the process, they end up in relationships that aren't really that right for them.
Well,
I'm just telling you what my experience has been.
It is not. Possibly that's my own experience. It's just sometimes confusing. You know, it's the Jack of Hearts in Venus, the loyalty to the family, the fixed nature of those cards,
yeah.
You know, to be in that group of cards that, you know, basically doesn't move around the spread the way the other 45 cards do.
You know, I have a really good friend who lives in Chattanooga, and he's a Seven of Diamonds, and he was with a King of Diamonds woman for about 10 years, and I knew them really well, and she was an impossible person to be with, but he never abandoned her. He never cheated on her, and he did everything he could to be the perfect mate for her, but he could never make her happy. And it was a little bit, in a way, I felt a little bit like, you know, he could have done better for himself. if I could say that, you know.
Yeah.
He could have did better for himself. And then, after they broke up, I saw him recently, and there was another King of Diamonds woman. And, you know, that's your Neptune card, too, you know.
It's coming up.
Well, I'm saying that if you meet a King of Diamonds woman, she's Neptune to you.
And right. And, just,
she's,
you know,
a direct Neptune card.
Right.
And so he was getting ready to go right at it again with another impossible woman. And I stopped him and I said, what are you doing? You just did this for 10 years. Are you going to do this again?
Right.
You know, and he stopped and looked at it. I'm not sure what he did because I haven't talked to him in about a month and a half. He might have actually went ahead and proceeded with her. I don't know. But I know that he's not going to get any different results because he's entering it with the same approach.
Right.
So, so my question to you is, are you entering it with a different approach or not?
Well, you know, I look at the cards between the Seven of Diamonds and the Five of Diamonds, and they're fairly compatible.
Yeah, you have a lot of past life love with any Five of Diamonds or Nine of Diamonds. You got double past life Venus connections with them. Okay?
It feels like the Jack of Hearts doesn't work so well with that. This the woman that I'm associated with has a hard time. She had a difficult early childhood and was in foster care and has a hard time opening up to her emotions, though she's, you know, she's a Cancer moon sign, so it's in there somewhere.
So my only question to you is, I don't know your chart or anything, but your astrological chart, but I can tell you that if you go into a relationship thinking that you're going to make somebody better or make them show up better in their life or somehow have them change and have a happier life, you're wasting your time.
Yes.
That's the only point that I have to make about it. And that could be your big lesson, you know, in this lifetime, is not to try to save the woman you're dating.
What can you tell me about these 13-year periods of time? You know, for instance, there's a King of Hearts in Uranus and a King of Diamonds in Neptune that are coming up here in my next 26 years on the... Is that the wrong way to look at it?
Well, you still got a few more years left on this, this period you're in now.
Yes.
So let's just stay focused on that one.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? You got a lot of things to handle before you get to that point.
Okay.
So, you know, when I look at your cards and I see you're in this Two of Diamonds, this Two of Hearts period, you're here to make this work. This is your time to have all this work for you.
Right.
And if you're willing to do something a little different.
Well, I've you know, become aware of the Course of Miracles in the last few years of my life, and I did the Eckhart Tolle classes with Oprah online, and, you know, I'm really reversing a lot of my core beliefs about, you know, what's going on and my own, you know, that I'm actually in charge of this, and it's very empowering, but I haven't been able to... you know, I'm having a difficult period with relationships.
Well, you know, what you're experiencing right now is just basically you're experiencing the karma that has always been there for you. This is your karma And it's your turn to get it right.
You think it's there's the possibility of getting it right, huh?
Yes. I'm always optimistic about these sorts of things.
Well, now, my result card for the year is my long... don't I have a five of hearts as my result card for the jack of hearts?
Five of hearts result, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily about ending a relationship. It's just changing it, right?
Well, it can mean that you finally achieve some form of freedom.
Freedom.
Emotional freedom.
Emotional freedom.
Like, you're a little bit, I would say you're a little bit bogged down by the way you're in this relationship right now. That's a feeling I get from talking to you.
All right.
It's difficult. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not really all that great. You know, I'm not saying you can't do it, but I'm just saying, is it really working for you?
It's not. It's not.
Well,
it's a struggle.
Well, you might need to be free of this, or free of the way you've been going at it. I think it's about your approach. I don't think it's about the relationship. It's just that this is what you always attract because of the way you approach relationships.
Wow, that makes sense.
So you can really change this. You know, your long-range card this year was Ace of Hearts, okay? You know what Ace of Hearts means, Michael? It's looking inside ourselves and asking the question, what is it that I really love and what really makes me happy? It's a very selfish influence. It means being focused on yourself and asking the question, is this making me happy? Is that making me happy or not? And being honest about the answer.
Right. All right.
And yes, you could be free of this relationship by your birthday.
And
but you know, I'm not saying you will because you're pretty stubborn. God might have to get some, like, you know, dynamite to blast you out of there.
Right. Well, you know, she's got a lot of dynamite in her, being an Aries. She may blast me out whether I want or not.
Well, see, that's the thing. If we don't see the light ourselves, sometimes it has to be sort of done to us. But you're wise enough to be proactive about this. You have an opportunity to be proactive. You have an opportunity to do the thing that is the right thing before it has to be done to you because you just won't see it.
Right. Right.
You know, that's your choice you have to make here. So it's up to you either way. It's all going to work out in the end, no matter what you do. You can't make any mistakes.
Divine plan, right?
Right. It's all part of the plan. You really can't make a mistake. But we are all basically required to make the best choices we can from what we know. See? All of us.
All right. I hear what you're saying. It's
okay.
Look at the approach. Look at my approach.
Yeah, like look at the thing that you're probably going there thinking you're going to save her.
Well,
she's going to change.
Well, no, I think that it's I'm actually I think I have a lot of conditioning to think that you know, to want things to be, you know, the way that I think they should be, but I realize I need to let her be who she is, but it's just hard to break that conditioning, those habits.
Yeah.
And to take it out of my head and to put it into the actual power that I'm using, you know what I mean? It's different to talk about it, but in the moments when the fan blade is throwing it all over the room, it's hard not to go back to those old manipulation and I want this kind of a stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. You and her are different. You love each other. There's no doubt about that. But you are very different from each other.
Yes. I agree.
She's a way more restless than you are. And she's got her own issues, you know, about, I mean, Nine of Diamonds and Five of Diamonds, they have a whole pile of stuff to work on that's different than your stuff.
Right.
Not, it's not the same pile of stuff. It's their little unique bag of baggage or whatever you want to call it, you know. We all have our own little thing that we're doing, right? So hers is different than yours. And if she's working on it, great. Things can get better. If she's not working on it, or if you're not working on your stuff, either way, it could be really difficult for both of you.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
It's great talking to you. Thanks for calling up, Michael. It's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. I enjoy your show a lot. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, man. It's good to have you call in finally.
Good night.
All right. Good night. Okay, waiting patiently from South Florida, we have Carol, whose birthday is April 9th, 1950, I think.
April 19th.
Okay, I thought so. I think I heard you talking to Seth. So you're actually a Two of Diamonds and a Six of Diamonds.
Right.
And how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I heard you talking earlier about ego and need to be right, and I mean, that fits me to a T right now.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy you can admit that.
Well, you know, I had an encounter with a longtime friend that didn't end up as nice as I would have thought. But it's someone that I also work with. And I spoke with you a while ago when you were telling me that at some point this year I need to go back to doing my own business and it would be good for me. But that I would go and I really would be somewhat resistant. But I think I'm at that point now.
Oh, well, that's, you mean that it's been so hard that you're starting to explore other alternatives now?
Yeah, I had my own business a while ago and I wasn't very successful with it. It was very difficult for me to, because I wanted to do the creative work, but then all the marketing and other stuff that has to be done wasn't quite as easy. The other thing, I was working alone a lot, and I do like being part of a team. So I was just wondering if there's any way to tell. I think that probably going off on and going back into my business is a good thing, but I just need some redirection as far as how I do it so I do a better job.
Well, you know, if a business makes enough money, you can afford to delegate to people, right?
Right.
Like I have an assistant working for me who does the orders and things, but if I didn't have enough business, I would take over and do that myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on how successful you're being. You know, but you have to be the one in this particular situation, especially at this time in your life, because of your cards. You have a King of Diamonds displacement. That means you have to be the boss.
Okay.
You have to be the one in charge. You have to be the one who is basically, okay, this is my business. This is what we're going to do. And this is what we're not going to do. You see?
Okay.
If you're not willing to be that, then it's going to dampen your success.
Okay, I think I'm ready to be that. It's just, I guess the hesitation is that it wasn't quite the success before, and I did learn some things.
You mean you didn't you weren't financially successful with the business?
No.
That's what you're referring
to. And I guess when I got into it, I wasn't quite prepared. Ahead of time.
I think this is a new year. This is a new opportunity for you. So I think you can pull it off.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I really do. You're really good at business. You really are.
Okay.
I don't know what the circumstances was of the last attempt that caused it to be unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to think very practically, you know, about things. And you know, I've always entered into new businesses with the condition in mind that if it didn't work out, I would just go back to work for whatever I had to do.
Right.
I would make calculated risks, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at the situation and say, you know, this has a good chance of being successful, and I'm certainly all for that. But if it doesn't, I have a place to go. You know.
Well, I guess with the way the job market is now, that's the other scary part. That.
Well, you know, I was talking to my wife today about conditions in the economy right now, and now is not really a great time for investing money, but it's a great time to make money right now.
Okay.
It's a great time to earn money by providing products and services to people that can make a difference in their life.
Okay.
So if that's what you have in mind, your timing is good.
Yeah, because I have a service that I offer, so.
Yeah. Well, that's I think that's what's favored right now, personally. That's my take on it, is that those things are favored at this time.
Okay.
History. So, you know, there's always been ups and downs in the world in terms of the economy and the market, but if you look carefully, you'll notice that no matter what's going on, there's always somebody making a lot of money.
Yeah.
That money just doesn't disappear. It's still there, and somebody else is making it, you know.
Right.
So all we got to do is just be resourceful and look around and go, well, where's the money being made? You know, what can I do that can attract that money to me? That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have good cards. I don't think you're going to have any financial difficulties. You're not showing outstanding financial success this year, but you are showing success.
Oh, okay.
You know, just not, you know, not out of this world success, but you are showing success. So you should go for it.
Cool.
I would. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging. I appreciate that.
This last gentleman who called, you guys would be really compatible.
What was that?
This last gentleman, Michael from Tucson.
Oh!
He's a 7 of diamonds. You're a 6 of diamonds. That's a great connection.
You
should go to my website, my dating website, and sign up, lovecardsdating.com. Maybe Michael will be free by then. He's in kind of a bad relationship right now.
Yeah, I was listening. Well, thank you very much, Robert.
Well, you're welcome. Carol, great talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Thanks very much.
Have a nice evening.
You, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have Allie, whose birthday is April 25th, 1965, from Ontario on line 3. And we have 2 lines open right now, so if you want to call, now will be a good time. Is Allie there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, I can barely hear you.
That's what he was saying before. Sorry, I'll try to speak up. I'm kind of
That's better. He actually has the ability to turn you up. Now I can hear you pretty good.
Okay.
So you were born April 25th, 1965, and you're dating somebody?
Yeah,
I
was wondering if I could change my question, because it's kind of interesting tonight that her card's already come up. And it's a business relationship with somebody, and she might be listening, so I think it would be kind of fun if you did that one instead.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
Okay. So her birth date is March 26th, 59.
Was the other a personal relationship?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But you don't want to do that one now.
Well, I would, but this other one would be good, too.
Oh, okay. So are you in business with this Ten of Clubs person?
She's got a business, and she's asked me to help her market for her.
Okay.
Online.
Are you good at marketing online?
I've been studying it for a while, but kind of gave it up because I didn't really find anything that I really felt I wanted to market.
Uh-huh.
And so I've learned a lot about it, and I've been in sales for a number of years, a while back. And I want to do something from home. I want to do it online. A lot of things match.
Okay. Well, I think that she could be. She's a 10 of clubs. You're a 9 of clubs. So she's likely to take you in a good direction. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So all that's good. And you're actually her long-range card this year. You're a Two of Hearts ruling card. That's her long-range. Well, that's a possibility you'll really be prominent in her year, in her life this year. I mean, it suggests that you guys will be together, working together, or something like that.
Okay?
Now, there's no chance for a romantic relationship with you and her, is there?
No.
Okay. Just checking. I have to ask, because I never know.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, well, you never know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, because Two of Hearts is also, she has a lot of heart cards. You know, she may be interested in business, but she's got a lot of love stuff going on, too.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Year.
We talk a lot, so, about lots of things, so, yeah.
Well, you know, then you're her friend. So, you know, she could lead you in a new direction, and you're a moon to her. You have to follow her. You have to support her. She gets to be the boss, and she gets to say which, you know, where you're going, but you can be helpful, and you can benefit from the ride that she takes you on.
Yeah, that's how I see it, yeah.
Yeah, good. So I don't see any problem with your working with her.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I'm involved with it with a heart, actually. But
the King of Hearts.
Subject to that other question. A King of Hearts, actually.
Yeah, I you gave me his birthday, actually.
Right.
The younger guy.
Yeah. Happens.
Yeah, it just happened. It was an accident. I just fell into this relationship. I tripped, and all of a sudden, I was having sex. I can't believe it.
He's in another country, so sex isn't an option right now.
He's in another country? He's away from you somewhere else?
He's away in another country, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he's an American citizen, and I'm Canadian, so...
Well, how long is it going to be gone?
Till the end of the year.
Wow, you're being awfully patient. I couldn't wait that long.
Well, I've been without longer, so.
Well, you know. So you guys, I mean, you are compatible, and... Nine of Clubs are often destined to be with King of Diamonds. He's a King of Diamonds also, you know.
Is he? Oh, wow.
He's a double king.
A double king. Wow.
Yeah. He's very relationship-oriented. I mean, this is a good match for you in a lot of ways, as long as he's really available and really wants to go for it with you. He's a good match.
We're still wondering how it could work, but...
Oh, okay, so...
That's a good thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, if two people want it to work, there's so many ways to make it work, that's not really a problem.
Yes.
The only question is, are both people ready to go for it?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Right.
So it's a matter of whether you both are ready to, like, jump in there. No holds barred.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, he may or may not be, you know. You are, but he's kind of young, so.
Yeah. He's got work on his mind.
Yeah, well, a man usually feels like he has to establish himself in his career before he's worthy of a woman.
Right.
We're kind of plagued by that DNA.
kind of hardwired that way. I know.
Yeah. So that's the best I can tell you right now. I mean, I see him being important in your life this year. I don't think you're going to get to see him as often as you'd like because he's your Uranus card, one of your Uranus cards, which means he'll be sort of hard to get a hold of. I don't know if you guys will actually end up together or not. It's hard to say from the card. Mm-hmm. There's nothing definitive, that's for sure.
Right. Okay.
Now, I mean, if you guys are still together by your next birthday, pretty good chance you guys are going to get together and stay together.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Allie.
I really appreciate it, Robert. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Take care.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
All right. Okay. We're going to take a short break here. We do have two lines open. And we'll be taking your calls when we come back. On this break, we're going to listen to the song Om Namah Shivaya. When we come back, we'll talk to Natalie from Massachusetts and anyone else who calls. So we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and you're listening to the Mr. Destiny radio show. We're in the question and answer period of the show, and we have just enough time for our two or three more callers, which we already have lines full for. So we'll start out with Natalie from Massachusetts, who's waiting up very late to talk. Her birthday is January 20th, 1951. Are you there, Natalie?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Natalie?
I'm fine. I want to ask a question, because I'm looking over my past relationships and seeing that people I was involved with, they were all diamond people, and I'm wondering if there's any one particular card that's actually really best for me to be with.
Well, you know, it depends a lot on what your life is all about, like where you're going and what do you want to have and what kind of life is best for you, you know? I mean, we have to know that first before we can suggest cards, because there's lots of cards that you're compatible with, but other factors could be more important than that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is your ideal relationship? Do you have an idea what it would be like? Would you live together? Would you be married? Would you...
I would like marriage. I'm living together with tired of that. I want to get married. And I'm looking for, well, devotion, loyalty, faithfulness in the relationship.
Well, those things aren't too hard to find. Have you ever had a relationship with a Jack of Hearts person?
A Jack of Hearts? No.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what you need to do.
Jack of Hearts? Please.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, it's your Venus card.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be more, like, more compatible for me? A Jack of Hearts?
Yes, very compatible. You guys would see a lot of things alike. You would have similar views on love and life and probably like the same kinds of things. So that would be a good place to start.
Okay. I met one King of Hearts.
Well, King of Hearts is not bad either. And, you know, I've seen a lot of Seven of Diamonds with King of Hearts men,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to work pretty good. So that's not a bad idea either. Okay?
Okay.
But King of Hearts, as long as they don't have kids, you know?
As long as they don't have kids?
Yeah, when they have kids, when they have kids, you'll never be as important as their kids.
Okay.
That's the problem. So make sure they don't have a lot of baggage, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
But Jack of Hearts or King of Hearts, either one of those would be highly recommended for you.
Okay.
All right,
great. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking the time to stay up late and talk to us tonight, Natalie.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, now we have one of my wife's best friends. Her name is Dorothy. She's calling from Nashville. Are you there, Dorothy? Hello? 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 That's why we have nobody there.
I think she's there. She's just been silent.
Well, let's get Tara on then. Hello, anybody there?
Hi, I'm here.
Is this Tara?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Tara. I was waiting for Dorothy to come on, but she never showed up.
Okay. All right.
So I heard you had a question about the system.
Yeah. I had noticed that my cards, your book, Destiny Cards, tend to repeat at age 52 from age 7. And I had also heard an excerpt from the UAC conference, the United Astrology Conference recently, from Melanie Reinhardt, that at age 52, that also is your Chiron return, and that's a very important part of your life, and I just wanted to get your comment on that.
Yeah, I've written extensively about 52. It's what I call the critical year.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Tony Snow just died at the end of his 52nd year. A lot of people decide to check out that year.
Yeah.
And it's a life-defining year. It's basically, it's like, is my life worth living? Do I have a reason to live that's worth continuing on or not? You know, it's a question we face at that age. And you just had your 52nd year.
Yes, and I was in a critical health place as well. So I made it through, but it was traumatic. Italy.
You must have had to have come to a decision to live.
Yes. Well, I was very fortunate I got help. But, I mean, beyond that, I mean, why is it that the pattern of the cards repeats? What is, in your opinion, the purpose of that?
Well, when you're 52, you have the same cards that year that you have for the seven-year cycle that you're in.
Right.
And that's a culmination, and it's all Jupiter, by the way. It's a blessed year. It's not a bad year. It's a blessed year. But the way I see it is, like, during the 52nd year, you're entering into the Saturn period of your life, Saturn 13-year cycle. But you're having this Jupiter year, and the universe is saying to you, here, life can be good if you want it to be. Will you let life be good? That's the question that we face. Will you allow your life to be good? Or will you just continue struggling? Or will we continue struggling? That's the question. The cards, it all points out to be a blessed year. Everything comes easy in that year. So why do people die when things are so easy? They die because they don't really have any reason to be here. Does that make sense?
But is it supposed to mean that you're supposed to have learned your lessons by that age, and this is like a second chance to get it right?
Well, no, it's not. It's not some. It's a lesson. I think it's really like one lesson that we're meant to learn by then, and that is, am I going to allow my life to be good, or am I going to continue to make it an ongoing struggle?
Right.
Is it going to be? Because it can't be. It can't go on and be a struggle like that after 52. It has to kind of lighten up for us. By that age, we've worked really hard, you know. It has to lighten up by then.
Right. Well, you have to change things so that it isn't a struggle.
A lot of people, like yourself, have a life-threatening illness at age 52, and they either live or they die. My very best friend, who lives in Asheville, had a heart attack when he was 52, and he was told he was going to die, but he decided to live, and he's still alive now, and he's 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he met the woman, he met the his soulmate shortly after that. His whole life changed for the better, but it came from a deep decision within himself that he was going to live. And I've talked to a lot of other people. I know people that actually died who were sort of acquaintances of mine. And when I talked to them before they died, they were dying when I met them in the age 52 year. And in both cases, we have three different cases actually, they had no reason to live. And so they left. So, you know, this illness thing is not, we're not victims of illness. I think that it's an agreement that we make with ourselves. We decide to live, and illness is just one way to check out.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically how I understand it. You know, I mean, I just was 52 like 3 years ago, and I had a big transformation in my age 52 year also, and it was life defining for me, as it was for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see
happen
with a lot of people. Now that you're setting the cards, you'll see this be a consistent theme.
Right. But beyond age 52, I mean, the pattern of cards repeats at age 53.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Well,
it does not.
Every 45 years, you have essentially the same cards with some minor differences. Every 45 years, they'll be the same.
Oh.
Yeah. So age 52 is like age 7. Age 53 is like age 8. But there are some differences because the semi-fixed cards switch places. The Ace of Clubs, Two of Hearts, Seven of Diamonds, and Nine of Hearts have switched places. So they may not show up the same.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. In other words, when I'm 53, which I am now, is it going to be, am I going to have the same sorts of problems I did when I was age 8?
Well, you see, that all gets resolved around age 45. Usually we work those things out at age 45. That's the rebirth year. Because that year, we have our life spread at age 45 again, and we get a chance to redefine our life from that point forward. We don't have to go through every year after that. It's like a one-time deal at age 45. We just do it, and that sets the pattern for the rest of our life.
I see. I just know that in a couple of years, I repeat the patterns, like 52, 52.
No, I wouldn't worry about that. You're not going to be repeating your age 8 and age 9 stuff.
Okay. Good.
All right, Sarah. Well, thanks for calling in tonight. Great to have you on the show.
Can I ask you another quick question?
Well, I have two more callers, and I'd like to be able to get to them, if you don't mind.
All right, Jennifer.
If you'd like, call back next week. I'd love to talk to you some more.
Will do. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have now from Portland, we have Dawn, whose birthday is November 7th, 1959. Are you there, Dawn? Hello? Seems like we have people just kind of disappear tonight for some reason.
Hello?
Oh, who's this? Hello? I can barely hear you.
This is Heather calling from the Bay Area.
Oh, okay, great. We have Heather now. We lost a couple people.
I think I was supposed to be after Dawn, but maybe we lost him.
Yeah, it was actually her when you lost her, yeah.
Okay.
So are you born June
28, 1961? I am.
Well, great. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love BBS radio.
So we have you as being a Two of Clubs. What can I do for you tonight?
Well, I'm looking for some of your intuition on when a romantic spiritual partner might come into my life. I'm meeting a couple of wonderful guys on a spiritual path, but not a lot of romance, I'm feeling. So I'm wondering if you can see anything in the cards.
I think you are going to have relationships quite soon. I think you're going to meet somebody in August. Actually, it'll be more like September, probably. It could happen later part of August. Your Venus period of the year, every year your Venus period begins on August 19th, and it ends on October 10th, and you have a lot of love cards this year in that position, so I think you're going to meet somebody. Are you planning a trip during that period?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, if you have an opportunity to travel, that's where you'll meet somebody. So if an opportunity presents itself, you say, well, yes, I would love to go.
Just enjoy the journey, huh?
Yeah, whatever, just be open and see what happens.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah. Well, that's not very long from now, so.
Yeah, and I just have to also say, I was listening to the woman who called before, and I'm caring for a mom with cancer who wasn't expected to live very long. The doctors are just amazed. And so much of it, I think, is attitude and coming from a place of not just being, having to put up with the doctors are saying and stuff, that we have to know in our hearts, that we're here for a reason. And that was very heartwarming to me, the information that you shared with her.
Mm. Now, did your mother survive age 52 or what?
Yeah, she's fighting breast cancer for the third time. And bless her heart, she's 72 and had to retire early. And, lots of love. And I do know that, we come to learn the lessons we're supposed to learn in whatever, in a particular lifetime. And
You know, so much of it is attitude in the spiritual work that we do. So,
well, great. Well, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
It was nice that you shared your story with us.
Yeah.
All
right.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank
you.
You
have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Heather. You too. Thanks for calling.
All right. Ciao.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're just about out of time, but Dawn has called back, and she's waiting, I think. We'll see. Are you there, Dawn?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, great. Good.
And are you born November 7th, 1959?
Yes, 59.
Okay. And have you called before? I think you've called before, have you?
I have, yeah, a while back.
Okay, because your birthday
is... Yeah, but my question today is kind of more a lighthearted question.
Okay.
About a friend, and I'm wondering if we're compatible with each other.
Okay. What's her birthday or his birthday or what?
His birthday is May 28th, 1953.
Okay. He's a four of clubs and a two of diamonds. You're a king of clubs and a four of diamonds. You guys have a lot of past life love connections, the two of you.
Huh.
I'm sure you feel that, you know. You'd have
yeah,
to
we're just that. Kind of starting to get to know each other, so.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying.
And I kind of have a big fear of commitment, so I don't know if that's going to cause trouble or not.
Well,
I know, it sounds like more of a guy thing, but
well,
I guess some women
have
that issue too.
My suspicion is that your fear of commitment is more like your, I think it's probably more of a fear of getting into a bad relationship.
Probably so, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not the fear of commitment so much as a fear of making a mistake and ended up in a situation that's really bad. And, you know, like, that's what I suspect from your birthday. Because actually, you're a very marriageable person.
Uh-huh.
You know, your birthday,
okay.
You're one of the people that really, you're a person that can really make a commitment and mean it. But I think it didn't work out so well for you before.
Yeah, I've been divorced twice. So.
Yeah. You're like, I don't want to make that mistake again.
Right, yeah.
Is that what's true?
So it looks like we've got a lot in common, or we've got
well,
a lot...
Well, here's the deal. You guys have a lot in common because, number one, you're both somewhat security-oriented. Okay? You
uh-huh.
get that? That's good. That's good.
I can barely hear you.
I said you're both somewhat security-oriented.
Oh, okay.
And that's good because, you know, you both having that means you have that basic approach to life in common. In other words, that's important to both of you.
Uh-huh.
That's a good foundation. That's a good foundation to start out with, see?
Okay.
And you have a lot of love for each other. There's no doubt about it. But there's a lot
uh-huh.
of love between you. That's a good foundation also. Now, one thing you should
okay.
know is that Four of Clubs people are not as broad-minded as you are.
Uh-huh.
You're a
I
king
see
of
that
clubs.
Already.
You're a king of clubs, and he's a Four of Clubs. And
uh-huh.
he's really all about, having it all, he thinks he has it all figured out. You know, life and everything.
Uh-huh.
But I would think that from your point of view, it would seem to be a little narrow, some of his ways of looking at things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I thought it was just the age difference, but maybe it's not.
No, it's not the age difference that much. It's more like just his basic approach to life is a little different than yours, and he doesn't see things in such an expanded way as you do.
Okay.
And, you know, that's not what he's here to do. So it's not like it's not necessarily a problem, but
mm-hmm.
you'll have to be okay with that because He won't be able to get you sometimes. You'll be a little bit too much for him.
Yeah.
You'll be a little bit.
That.
Yeah. You're much more. You've seen. You know too much. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Uh huh.
You know too much. You're a king of clubs. You get the big picture. He doesn't have the big picture. That's not his. That's not what he's here to do. He's here to have a picture that works for him, and he's got one that works. And he can be very stubborn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He can be very stubborn because what works is what works for him.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, as far as but you guys love each other. There's no doubt that there's love there. And, you know, as long as you can develop an effective means of communication, it could work out.
Okay. Otherwise, it could just be a great friendship?
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys, there's always going to be love there no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Don't lead him on. I know you wouldn't do that intentionally. But
no.
If you're really not going to go the distance with him, don't lead him on. Don't let him get away with thinking that too long.
Okay.
Because,
yeah, he's been hurt by women before, so I'm thinking I don't want to do that to him.
Yeah, so, you know, if you decide you're not going to go the distance with him, you should let him know as soon as possible. And maybe even now let him know you're not sure, you know, just to be upfront.
Yeah. I can't tell if he's probably not sure either, so. Anyway,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, both of you guys have been
hurt.
Okay,
and I'm curious.
Yeah, go ahead.
I couldn't hear you, but how can you tell who's your Venus? Or you were saying, like,
do you have my book, Love Cards?
Yes, yeah.
Well, it tells you in there who's your Venus cards. See, like,
okay.
If you do, when you do the connections with the four clubs, it'll have... You won't see that with the four of clubs. You'll see it with this two of diamonds.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the four of clubs that has it. It's the two of diamonds that has it.
Okay.
Because you're
that's
a four of diamonds.
Great.
He's a two of diamonds, you see. And even king of clubs to the two of diamonds, there's two past life Venus connections in that one relationship. It's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
So that means, you know.
Okay. Well,
a lot of love
that
between
sounds
you.
Like a. Pardon?
There's a lot of love between you.
Okay. Yeah.
I have no doubt about
well,
that.
Well, good. Good. That sounds like a positive thing.
It is, but it's
alrighty,
still, well, it remains your choice, you know.
Yeah, but it looks like it's. Good possibility it could be more than
well,
a friend.
Well, I mean, I think compatibility-wise, you guys are very compatible. You know, there's just a matter of no one's perfect, and, you know, is he going to be enough for you, or are you going to be enough for him? Those are the questions that have to be answered.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
And I'll keep reading your book.
Okay, Dawn. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Thanks. Bye.
All right, good night. Okay, everybody, that concludes our show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to you guys coming next week, and we'll have another great show. We're going to end our show, as we always do, with the Gayatri chant, the Gayatri mantra. So wherever you are tonight, I hope you're going to have a beautiful rest of your evening and that you're surrounded by love and happiness and enjoying yourself. We'll see you next week. Good night. Om Bhurva Swaha.
Dhurvaniyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahe Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Saviturvaniyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahe Deyo Yona Prachodaya Deyo Yona Prachodayam.